Hey, this is Gina Terry, and you're listening to the Russell Horror Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Russell Horror.
Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here, the Russell Horror Podcast. With me, as always, my co-host, Donnie Hoover. Donnie, it looks like you're at the training center today.
Yeah, I don't have Pennywise behind me this time. So I had some work to do out here. This was WrestleFit night, so we had clients and stuff in here. So I just decided to stay here and do the recording. And, you know, I miss Big Dirty, so I had to spend some time with her alone, right. You know, get a little alone time with Big Dirty there. Right.
You're just tempting fate with Big Dirty. That's what it is.
She's calling my name like, come on, I won't hurt you this time. I promise.
You know, she's still got a voice and we can make that happen anytime you want to.
Right. Get Chris to do it up for me.
But on this episode of the Russell Horror Podcast, this is kind of unique. And I'll tell you why, because this young lady that's with us, her name is Gina Terry. Hi, Gina. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm doing wonderful. It's great to see you again.
It's wonderful to see you, Jim.
And Gina not only is a haunter and a very good haunter at that. I've watched some of her work and some of her characters, and oh my gosh, she thinks outside the box and then some. But she's also a funeral director. Which, you know, a lot of haunters are like, oh, what a cool job that is. Being a haunter. But Gina, you know, welcome to Russell Horror. And, you know, you have been, I mean, what got started first, haunting, or you wanted to be in a funeral director?
Well, I was always kind of a misfit growing up. And the haunting and funeral directing actually never crossed each other's paths in decision making, I should say. Completely different reasons. I got into haunting mostly because I was a misfit in my town and there was a haunted house that took volunteers of almost any age. So I was all about that.
All right. Now, when you were in career day in middle school and they had you write down what you wanted to be when you grow up, did you write down funeral director?
I didn't. It wasn't until I was like 26 that I decided I actually wanted to do funeral directing. I wanted to be on Broadway, so.
There you go. Very cool.
But I got into funeral directing at 26 after not being fulfilled in my previous career. And I had a want to help people, and funeral directing was the best decision I think I've ever made.
You know, Gina, ever since I met you the first time around when we were talking about haunting, I have followed you with your education and your graduation, and now you're actually a funeral director in Michigan. I mean, how does that feel from starting at the in the Cincinnati school to being where you are now?
It feels a little surreal, honestly. After all of the work and time that I had to put into going back to school, it took me almost 5 years to get from the very start to being licensed. So it was a lot of time and dedication, but it was worth every moment. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I might trade, you know, having 18 credit hours per semester, but what can you do?
So let me ask you this question, and we're going to go to the haunting side of things. What got you interested in haunting? I mean, when did you realize that this is what you wanted to do?
Well, I started in sixth grade And the only friend that I had at the time worked at this haunted house in town. And I knew it had been there. I always, you know, was in the car with my parents going past it, or I'd ride my bike past it, and I just never stopped because I never thought that I would actually fit in. And one weekend, I guess they were really understaffed and they were trying to find anybody to come in and volunteer. So my friend brought me in. And that first night, I had no idea what to do. I was scared out of my mind. I thought that was a little backwards, but and I ended up doing really great. I actually found my growl the very first night that we started, and it's progressed ever since, and I just absolutely fell in love with the industry.
Well, I'd say your desire for Broadway also helps in developing these characters and acting them out and doing that as well. So that was definitely a benefit.
Yeah, definitely. It's character development was something that was taught in every theater class, and how to get into certain characters was very useful, especially when I was switching between different types of characters throughout the years. And so it was, my love for Broadway and acting definitely played a huge role in being successful in the industry. I definitely do not regret trying to go after a theater degree.
So what kind of characters in the horror industry, in the horror movies, what kind of characters inspired you initially?
Well, it was less of a character and more of the scenes that I was finding in that first haunt that I worked at. And they kept putting me in these like cave areas, or like these doghouse areas, or places that were more animalistic than anything else. And so I knew that I really didn't have too many options than to be some type of like wild animal or some like crazy person that was feral. So it was just trying to fit into the haunted house that I ended up developing characters around animals, and then once I grew more comfortable in the industry and started going to different haunted houses and perfecting characters, I was watching a lot of different horror movies to see the way that the villains or the monsters would act or walk or talk, or things that had stop action in them were my biggest contributor. I know that the movie Silent Hill, with all of those nurses, their movements really inspired me quite a bit. And I brought those movements into one of my favorite characters, the Jester. So that was actually a really big hit. I've been holding on to her for quite some time.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that, because I was thinking that right before you said it, your Jester character. And you mentioned the nurses from Silent Hill, and it makes perfect sense to me now. Yeah. I didn't think about it at first, but yes, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Trying to contort your body into different ways, anything that makes you look less human, right. Especially when, you know, I'm only 5'2", and I've got a soprano voice, and I am not blind to the fact that men that are 6 foot tall and 250 pounds are not really going to be afraid of me.
You'd be surprised.
I dare say, yeah, you'd be surprised.
Well, you know.
I am 6'4", and I may not have been afraid of you. However, what I've seen and what I've heard gives me chills. Especially what gets me the most is not your size, it's the voice you use. It's what you use. That's the amazing part.
The voice actually took me quite a while to figure out. Because I know that I never wanted to have a speaking character because of how higher pitched my voice is, and it made me more human, and that went against everything that I was trying to do. But when I became the director of volunteers at one of my haunted houses, I had to talk. I was put into like the lobby areas around other guests. I had to speak to guests. I had to speak to our volunteers, the other directors. So it was pertinent for me to actually find a voice. And I don't know what brought me to the voice that I decided, but I knew that because my characters were trying to be less human, my voice was going to have to be something that was strained. Like, they didn't really know too much English. It was broken. It sounded just distorted and rugged coming out, and a lot of growls and changing pitches a lot helped me distort it enough to where I became comfortable talking.
Well, I've listened to some of your examples, and it's like every time I listen to it, it sends chills up my spine, because you are so unique in what you're doing that it's hard to explain. People have to experience it, in my opinion.
It's something. I have a couple videos of my jester in action, but as many times as I've wanted people to take videos of me, they end up getting a little distracted to be able to do so. So, my bad.
Yeah, actually, I've never heard it. I know when I saw you, you were doing like the shadow whisperer, is that what it's called? And you were quiet, so I didn't get to hear the voice. I'll have to look for it now.
My spirit walker voice is still under management at the moment. It's being developed. Mm-hmm. hasn't been perfected. I'm actually trying to find the right voice box to use. Since that character is, people can't even figure out how I'm in it, or some people think that it's a robot and not a person. So I definitely don't want to use any type of humanistic voice. So voice box is probably going to be the way I go.
Well, you know that VFX has that box, but Jesus, expensive.
I know, but I mean, I'm already spending, an arm and a leg on the costume itself, and I'm not about to skimp this far in, so.
Right.
The characters are 360-degree characters, from the voice all the way down to the tips of my fingers to my toes, so.
And that's one of the things I love about you, is you're 150% character-driven, and you don't skimp. You remind me of me. one of my most popular characters, the Dean. You don't want to know how much I spent on him.
I bet I could understand a little bit.
But on the flip side, he's my go-to. I mean, I can throw him on at any time.
Yeah.
And still be good. And my mask sits in my living room right now. It is sitting on a display case in my living room. Well, and I just love what I do, and I know you love what you do, Gina. And you are one of those haunters out there that, in my opinion, is very special. Mm-hmm. There are haunters, and there are haunters, and you're in the haunters category because, you know, we haven't known each other very long. It's what, maybe 3 years?
Yeah, about three.
But we get it. And there's a click there. There's an understanding between the two of us and how haunting goes. And I respect everything you've ever done in haunting because you are a visionary.
Well, I try to keep things fresh, and I want to inspire other people with what I'm doing. You know, when I was the director of volunteers, I had kids that were 8, 9 years old looking up to me, wanting to act like me, wanting to be a haunter like me. And if I can even inspire one person, one kid to take this passion and run with it and know that you're never too old to be doing something like this, I mean, it's worth it. It's worth every moment.
But I couldn't argue with you any more about that, because it's the truth. I mean, I'm 56 and I'm still doing this in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Not as active as I used to be, but you know, you might catch me out there once or twice during season just to have a little fun. And it was honestly hard for me to step away. But you know, things the way they are and life the way it is, I had to make some choices, but that doesn't mean I've stopped completely.
Right.
You know, and you were just in your prime. I mean, I expect more great things out of you. I really do.
I'm definitely looking forward to what I end up coming up with over the years myself. But I look forward to being able to share it with everybody and definitely having more years to share them with you, especially. I remember when you when I first met you at Starbucks with your family to interview for Mall, and I just thought it was the greatest thing ever. I was head over heels. You know, I've done over a dozen haunted houses in my, what is this, my 20th year of haunting. And I was just so excited to find a group that was as passionate about it as I was and that had character development like I did. And when you and I started talking, it was like, you know, your family was there. And I felt a little bad because we kind of just...
Yeah, we did.
I felt so bad, but... We did. We had such a connection because I knew that the way that I felt about haunting was the same way that you did. And I don't get to meet a lot of people like that. So it was so special to me. And I think that's why Mall has just immediately became such a big portion of my life, especially when it came to haunting.
You don't know what that means to me, really. It is so heartwarming to hear you say that. And I'm so proud of you and everybody else in Mall. You know, you guys have been great, and I keep seeing great things for you, and I'm trying to help this season with more great things for you guys to do, you know, and I know we're contracted out at Backwoods Oddities again, and I'm trying to get us contracted at Carnage Haunted House in Columbus and other things. So it just, you know, You really make this old man feel proud.
Oh, that's what it's all about, Jim. You got to have mentees to be able to you know, give your knowledge down to. I got to make you proud. That's my job.
And so far, so good. And I have no doubt you've done a wonderful job. And I look forward to seeing more of what you can do in the season.
Well, thank you, Jim.
I'm gonna chime in here. You're gonna make Jim cry. No, yeah, since you're with Mall, I know Mall's more Q-line base driven and that kind of thing for the most part. Do you prefer Q-line or do you like to get into the scene sometime?
I definitely prefer Q-lines, especially because of the types of characters that I develop. I know a lot of scene characters aren't typically 360 characters, and they can skimp on areas of their character because the scene is usually so short that you have to put something so fast in that people can react to. So I like being able to play with the guests and be around them more and let them see the character development and see the wide aspect that I've created. And it makes me feel better knowing, especially if I have people inside the haunt, knowing that if there's somebody, you know, maybe who's drunk or a little unruly that I noticed out in the queue, I can warn people in the house prior to. So it's kind of a, you know, mama bear thing.
Did 2020 take its toll on your fitness? Well, body slam the pandemic and get back in shape with WrestleFit. This innovative program combines all the fitness regimens you'll need to reach your goals. The WrestleFit workout will bring strength training, cardio, and the world of professional wrestling together in a fun, new, and exciting way. Have yourself a blast working out with dumbbells, kettlebells, slam balls, ropes, tires, and an 18-foot full-size wrestling ring. The WrestleFit workout isn't just for pro wrestlers. The WrestleFit workout is for everybody. At the Now Training Center, you can pursue your fitness goals and learn how to train like a professional wrestler without all the bumps, bruises, and slams with the WrestleFit workout. Go to www.newohiowrestling.com/training for more information or stop by the Now Training Center at 625 Eastgate Parkway, Blacklick, Ohio, 43004, Unit 6137.
So, what are your plans this season, Tina? I know you're going to try to get out there with Maul at some point in time, but how's your schedule looking for Halloween season?
So, with the funeral home that I'm with right now, they really work well on trying to make sure that weekends aren't just work, that you actually get your time apart and their business personal life mixture is really wonderful. So I'm really hoping that I'm going to have enough weekends that I can come down and scare with you guys, especially going back to Backwoods Oddities. That haunt, Alan and everyone that's there and all the volunteers are just the most wonderful people to work with, and they were such a pleasure, and I felt really honored that they were allowing us to come back. So I really want to go back, and I'd love to be able to work at Carnage, because I have not been able to work there yet, and I'm trying to work my way around the tri-state area. So
let me tell you something. I know Jason McCollum, one of the owners, and I was there, I forget how long ago it was, but they've been doing a lot of work, and they've got an amazing New Orleans scene.
Oh.
Absolutely. I mean, they've got full-size above-ground crypts. They've got a walk feature.
That's amazing.
It is the bomb. Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to see it in action. And Donnie actually works with Jason at Carnage.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Yep, I do zone captain, and then I'll jump in some scenes every now and again. Yeah, actually, the Spirit Walker character would be perfect in the cemetery scene. There's plenty of room for the character to move around, and just from what I remember seeing at Backwood Oddities, just the coloring and the shapes and sizes, it would fit in perfectly.
Great, because I definitely need a big area, high ceiling for my character.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Ceilings are high and plenty of room, and it's even a concrete floor, so you won't have trouble with divots or ruts or anything.
It was, made for me.
Yeah, it's a very cool haunt. They're going to have three of them all together. The first one's the New Orleans scene with the swamp and all that, and then they're going to do a hospital and then a hotel, and they're working on the hospital now, and I try to get over there to help, but I don't get a lot of time because I'm always here. But yeah, I go over there when I can and try to help out and get it ready.
That's great. I can't wait to see it. Even if I don't have the time to work it, I'm definitely going to come down there and at least be a guest, walk through it.
Mm-hmm. Jason's a visionary and he's got financial backing. So, what I've seen, I can't wait to see it because it's going to be off the chain. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it turned out really good. Like from what I saw a few weeks, like when we were open those 2 days a month ago or so, I mean, it's going to be a good season for him.
I believe that a lot of people are pretty sick and tired of being cooped up because of COVID.
Oh, yeah.
I imagine this season is actually going to be pretty pretty expansive for the haunt industry itself, just so people can get out and do something.
And right. We're hoping they don't screw around and shut us down again. Oh. She's like, don't get me started.
You watch your mouth.
The whole thing that shut down last year is like, I was mad because I'm Donnie's ring announcer and I have no matches to ring announce.
Right.
But we, you know, we just got started, what, end of July?
Yeah, July was the first one. We've had two shows so far, and we've got one next month. We're going to start doing them every month now until they shut us down again, which I'm hoping they never do. But, you know, it's hard to say these days.
You never know anymore.
All right.
So I have to throw this question out to you, Gina, and do you know any pro wrestlers?
No, I don't. I'm a terrible person for this show.
No, you're wrestle horror. It's the combination here. We're trying to combine the two. Donnie and I actually have a concept for training people that incorporates pro wrestling moves into haunting.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. To make the scenes more violent. Yep.
Right.
But safe. Throw that in there too.
It's all about perception.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're going to let you in a little hint here. Pro wrestling is staged.
Oh, what?
So you done ruined it for her. Look at you.
So you mean all of these years that I've actually been throwing myself into walls? Probably a bad idea.
But
now you tell me.
We've been working this concept, and we actually did a class at HauntCon this year.
Mm-hmm.
With the wrestle horror concept, which basically teaches you how to be very violent without being, because, you know, a pro wrestler, when he throws a punch, barely touches, if it even touches his opponent. So that's what we're trying to teach, is a way to make a certain scene look really violent without anybody getting hurt.
I think that'd be a great concept. That's definitely something that I would love to be able to be in on that training. I think most people should be in some type of training like that.
And that's something Donnie and I have been working on. We've been tossing around, maybe, you know, we've got the training center there in Columbus. We've been thinking about maybe, you know, doing a training class there with pro wrestling moves that don't hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That'd be very exciting. I think that'd be fantastic. Well, if you guys do put that together, I've got to be first on that list. So,
excellent. That's good to know. We will certainly put you on the top of the list when we get that together.
Good.
It's something I think in the haunt industry, if you can just give that illusion of even more, it's just going to be that more immersive to the patrons.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I know there was a scene that I was in at one point that it was a house. Like, it was the inside of a house. It had no furniture. It just had the wallpaper and then some slats behind the wallpaper, like it was peeling. And I had no idea what to do in there. So all I could think of was, well, what's the most inhumane thing that I can do to myself in here so that it will scare the people going through?
Right.
For 8 hours straight, I was just hurling myself into walls when any of the customers would come through. So, you know, learning how to look like things are getting violent without actually going home like, you know, a whole bruise would be...
Yep. Be a lot less stressful and painful, huh?
Yeah.
That's part of the wrestle horror concept, you know, is,
mm-hmm.
you know, something we've been working on, and, you know, it's kind of not taking a back burner, it was a side burner because we got other things going on, but we're going to kick it back into gear probably right after haunt season again. And we will let you know when that comes to fruition. So, you know, you can spread the word and come join and learn how to not get hurt and make it look violent.
I would love that.
Yep.
I will definitely spread that word, because I think there's some people who may have taken after me. So I'm just a bad influence. I'm sorry.
All right.
Bad Gina. So, Gina, this is the part of the show where Donnie asks a specific question. And there is no right or wrong answer, and I'm going to let him take it from here.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that question, but I had something that I was thinking about while I was listening to her talk. It goes back to the funeral director part of it. And I mean, I know like all of us haunters and we like creepy stuff and scary movies and everybody's like, oh, you're a haunt director that or a funeral director. That's awesome. You're, you know, around all that. But on the other side of the spectrum, when you prepare all that stuff and, you know, help this family, you know, pass their family member on and all that, I mean, how big of a sense of fulfillment is that for you?
It's pretty immeasurable, honestly. You know, these families are coming to us at one of the worst times in their lives, and they're losing a loved one, someone that they care so deeply about. And they're asking for our help to be able to say goodbye to them one last time. And to know that I'm able to make sure that their loved one looks the way that they want them to look and makes them look as peaceful as I can and make sure that the whole funeral is personalized and exactly what the family wants, and that I'm able to take care of all of the arrangements so the family doesn't have to lift a finger and everything will be good, is wonderful in itself. But then when a family comes to me after a funeral or during a funeral and thanks me, I always feel so odd when they thank me because, you know, they're thanking me because their loved one is dead and I've been taking care of them.
Right. And yeah.
It's such an odd feeling for me, but it brings so much joy to me knowing that I've been able to help this family at this time. And I honestly don't think that there's many other jobs out there that can say that.
Right. Absolutely. And like I say, a lot of people don't even really consider that side of it and stuff. And that's like I say, it just hit me and I just wanted to get that out there and hear your thoughts on it and stuff like that, because I found it pretty interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. We call it making magic, honestly. So when a family comes to us and tells us what they want, and then however many days later their visitation or funeral is, magically everything is done and they haven't had to lift a finger. So that's our goal. We want them to just know that they are taken care of in any possible way that we can.
Very cool. All right, so now let me get to the other question. Hang on, let me turn my light back on first. I got a timer on my light here. There we go. Stupid light. I couldn't have timed that any better, you know? All right, just like Jim said, there's no right or wrong answer. We just asked this question just to get inside the mind of our guest. And the question is, you are the main serial killer in your own horror film. What is your go-to kill?
The question. Gosh, there's just so many options. And I'm a funeral director, okay? Right. I have a funeral option too.
Right.
Oh gosh. Okay. Let's see here. Go to kill if I was a serial killer. Oh gosh. You know, there's something about just taking your time with your victim that just sounds like it would be perfect. Like, if I'm gonna be a serial killer, people are gonna be afraid of me. Like, period, exclamation part, the end. Like, that is it. They're going to be terrified of me because of how horrific something is. So, you know, skinning them alive or dumping them in acid or just like a hand or an arm or something in acid and then taking them apart or, you know, I don't mean to be so.
Oh, no, you're fine. I say we've heard some wild answers.
I would definitely be one to take my time and inflict as much as I could in the time that I had with someone before the Winter Shocker died.
Why me not to make you mad? Because I don't want that happening to me because she's
just... Yeah, there's a lot of Jim to skin. That would take you'd have him for a while.
you'd be surprised. I have had to remove someone's skin a couple of times when I was working in a research facility. And it is not as difficult as you would think.
Oh, really?
He's a little creeped out, guys.
I'm not creeped out. I'm fascinated now. I'm like, how do you do it?
Well, listen, you're giving me behind the shed tomorrow night. You know? Right.
Oh, she's got me scared now. I don't know. Like, what have I started here?
I'm already getting into the season. I'm sorry. I can't handle it.
No, it's good. It's good. Season's almost here.
It is. It's very exciting.
Oh, man. I'm still creeped out.
Now Jim's going to be thinking about me in other ways. Like,
right.
Yeah, it's like, I'm afraid to go to sleep tonight now. One of his dream of Gina skinning me alive or something, and I was like,
well, better than scaring you to death, because I would have to handle you more then if you died. So look, I'm trying to help you here, okay?
So Gina, if people want to find out more about you or Maul, or anything that you're doing that you want to tell everybody out, how can they find out about more about you?
So you can find me on Facebook. Nikita Tarasova is my name on Facebook. And you can find out about Maul from their Facebook page as well, M-A-U-L, the Traveling Haunt Specialists. Facebook is definitely one of the easiest ways to get a hold of me. I know also I'm on Instagram under the same name. I also have a photography page. Nikita T Photography is my modeling page. So people can check me out on there or find any more of my pictures and keep up that way.
Excellent. Gina, you know, I am so grateful that I've gotten to catch up with you. It has been too long. You know, I mean, I see your Facebook posts, and we respond every once in a while, but being able to talk to you for at length is great, and I'm so happy to see you again.
The feeling is mutual, Jim. Absolutely. It has been too long, and I can't stand that I live as far away from you guys as I do. We definitely have to catch up more.
The next time I'm up in the Ann Arbor area, I'm going to let you know.
Yes. Please do. I would love to go to Starbucks and catch up again.
Oh, that would be awesome. Great. Well, for myself, Meat Hook Jim, and my co-host Donnie Hoover, as well as our special guest, Gina Terry, a funeral director and a haunter, this is the Wrestle Horror Podcast, and we will catch you on the next episode.
See you guys.
Bye. Nice talking with you.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets, facebook.com/WrestleHorror, Instagram @WrestleHorror, Twitter @WrestleHorror, on YouTube at the Wrestle Horror channel. And you can also find us on our website, www.WrestleHorror.com.